Hello and welcome to this Wednesday, October 8th meeting of the Water Reclamation Facility Citizens Advisory Committee. And first order of business is call to order and establishment of a forum. Mr. Livek, do you have a roll call attendance or can I just look around here and see if everyone's here?
I think we can just look around.
Okay, everyone is here. So if we could have a moment of silence, please. Thank you. And if we could all rise and look to the flag for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, are there any announcements or presentations by any advisory committee members or staff?
No.
In this way, none. Staff, any announcements?
Just maybe a couple of corrections to the agenda on item A1. We're not approving the minutes for a meeting that really didn't take place on September 2nd. It's September the 10th would be that. And then the next... we're adjourning to the meeting on the 22nd, and then the next meeting after that would be November the 5th, would be the next meeting after that. And both those are special meetings. They don't occur when we had regularly set this committee's regular meeting. So just want to make sure everybody's clear on that.
Okay, thank you. Any other announcements?
One of the items here is from our I can just get to it when we get to that item on the financial consultant's recommendations. She has a some availability to meet with if we form a subcommittee. So
excellent, thank you. Okay, that brings us to public comment. Anyone from the audience wish to address the advisory committee, please come to the podium. We'll you have 3 minutes to let us know what you're thinking.
How you doing? I'm Gary Hickson. I went to a meeting about a year ago. I think everybody's doing a great job. The wastewater treatment plant, it's taken a long time for everybody to do all this. It's a lot of community support. And in the paper today, it's talking about the Los Osos project. They're making progress. And I don't know if Cayucas eventually jumped on board. But we've made a lot of progress, and a lot of people have. I do my public comment as an actor. And These meetings are very important, and I think they've made a lot of progress. So I'm going to try to go to the one in Cayucas. That's coming up in a couple of days. I recommend people go to that one and to go to the city council. And just look out for Gary Hickson, because I'm a surfing machine. But be careful out there and wear wetsuits, because there are sharks out there. Anyway, thank you very much. Have a good one.
Thank you, Mr. Hickson. Okay, that brings us to our consent calendar. A1 is the approval of the minutes. Does anyone have any comments or changes they'd like to address on the minutes?
I have one, I believe, and Rob, you just brought it up. Down at the very bottom, C5, it says our next meeting will be October 22nd and November 11th. So that should probably be November 5th.
November 5th, that's correct.
Okay, if there are no other comments, then entertain a motion and a second for approval.
Second.
Okay. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? None. Motion passes. Move on to B2. Recommendation of the subcommittees. Rob, if you'd like to give a brief presentation.
Sure. We had talked last time, brought up the subject of forming several subcommittees. And I think the overall committee desire was to form at most probably 3 subcommittees that's kind of encompass all the major aspects of the project, and that would be finance, environmental, and engineering water resources as those 3 major topics. And so what we're looking for today is the each of these subcommittees may be made up of up to four committee members, and that way there's not a quorum and you can meet as needed to discuss your subcommittee's topics. That concludes my introduction.
And does this have to be a formal nomination, or can we just have people speak up if they'd like to be on a committee?
I think that would work probably best. If you know, maybe we start with you know, finance, see a raise of the hands, and then if there's more than four, then we'll have to deal with that issue. But if there's not, I think it should proceed of its own accord.
Then let's do it that way. If finance would be the first subcommittee, who's interested in being on the finance subcommittee, by show of hands. Three.
So I see Richard, Ginny, and Barbara as the nominees. And maybe what we can do is, after we get all the subcommittees, then we'll vote on them in their entirety for everything.
I have a question. Can we be on more than one?
Sure.
Okay. And then for environmental, who is interested in being on the environmental subcommittee? Three there as well. Okay. So we see we have Guerra, Donnelly, and Lavalette. And the third would be engineering and water resources. Show of hands for that. We have three as well. Okay. And that would be Shively.
Yeah, Shively.
Shively, my apologies.
No problem.
Guerra and Donnelly. And as chair, I was thinking about, and I was to throw this out to the three subcommittees, as possibly as available, float to all three if possible and participate in all three. I don't know if there's any concern with that from any subcommittee members.
I think that makes four.
No.
Four per subcommittee with you on all of them, and I think that would work out just fine.
Okay, perfect. Couldn't have planned it better.
Almost looks like we did.
And we didn't. Okay. So I think we're going to need then a motion and vote on the formation of these subcommittees.
Right. So we could do it in mass.
Let's just do it in mass.
A motion to approve the subcommittees as self-nominated.
You have a motion.
So approved. So moved.
All right. Donnelly, motion, and
I'll second the motion.
Guerra with the second. Okay, all in favor, say aye, please.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? None. Motion carries unanimously again. On to new business, item C1. And this is going to be a project schedule update provided right now, it looks like.
So, yes, this is the project schedule update. Sorry. No, that is not in the packet. So,
well, here, let me handle this.
Okay, I'm going to turn it over to John Rickenbach.
Right. Okay. Yes, the schedule update was not in your packet, but we do have, and I'll email it to you, Rob.
Okay.
And we'll distribute it to you. But the short order of that is to say it's two pages worth of a schedule. One is an update of the long-term schedule, and the other is sort of a more blown-up version of what happens in 2014 to the end of the year. We have a lot of moving parts right now from now to the end of the year. There's nothing that's really new and updated, but we've hit on a few points. We're still looking at going to City Council in November, as we discussed before. November 12th is the day we're talking about still. We still have the subcommittee meetings today, the 22nd and the 5th of November. and we still have several reports that are coming in. You have two of them in more or less preliminary form. Two more will be coming in, plus the overall report. All of these are going to follow over the next few weeks in advance of the 12th. That's the hope. And then we move from there to a council decision on the 12th of November, which then will lead to either following a path that goes to CMC and working with the county and the state, or goes down the line working more directly as the city on the project at the Rancho Colina site. We'll get you a full version of that schedule so you'll have that, but that's the guts of it at this time.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Woodson, go ahead, please.
I don't know if this is working.
There we go. Mr. Rickenbach, didn't the City Council approve a schedule for this project? And if so, what is the process for changing that approved schedule, and what is the formality? In other words, do we have the authority to do that, or do you have to go to the City Council to change any dates or any key milestones or anything like that?
I think at this point it's up to the Council to decide what happens in the overall schedule. I think there are some small, they're looking at the big picture schedule. We're working with staff to look at the day-to-day, week-to-week schedule, and that's moved a little bit, but it hasn't changed the overall major milestones. We have to look to the Council for that.
And the major date that the Council is looking at, that they actually approved by resolution, is 5 years from the issuance of the permit that this plant would be operational. So that's really what they approved. We've been giving them updates on some steps that are needed, but they didn't take formal action on the detailed steps that are needed to get to that point.
So are you saying the 5-year clock really actually starts in
Yeah, based on resolution 1714, the time clock starts ticking the day that the regional board issues our permit.
For this plant?
For this plant. So we'll have a 5-year, probably secondary permit with the interim effluent limitations, and that sets the clock running on getting to the new facility.
Okay. Any further questions? This is just receive and file, so we'll do that exactly and move on to item C2, which is review of the first report we're going to see tonight, and that's the discharge regulatory implication of discharge options by Larry Walker and Associates. So, Rob or John, either of you would...
Yeah. So... We brought this to council on last month at a special meeting, and they reviewed Larry Walker's report. It Betsy Elzuvan, I always try to add more vowels to her name than are actually existing there, presented this to City Council and went through the various discharge options that a new facility would have, comparing creek discharge, land disposal, and looking at continuing the ocean outfall. And if you look at table one in her report, it kind of goes through those in summary, talking about the where the significant regulatory issues will be with those different discharges, and then looking at comparing Choro Creek to Morro Creek. And as I don't think it was a surprise to anybody that as you discharge to a more sensitive disposal area, the regulatory requirements increase. So land disposal is the easiest, followed by ocean disposal due to the significance of dilution, and then creek discharge is you know, really the highest standard for wastewater disposal. And sure, yeah.
Yeah, what I want to do right here is maybe not march through everything in the report, because you've got the report. But I do want to hit on a couple of highlights. And before I even do that, I want to pass around, this wasn't in your agenda packet, but this is sort of a guidance document for everybody here. And what this really is when you do review this and any other reports, and if there's not enough, let me know. I think there's enough there. When you review this and any other report, we're looking for focused feedback. And that, and what I've tried to do here is sort of give you an outline of what I mean by that. You can say whatever you want, and your committees are going to be a great forum for that, your subcommittees. But what we're looking for is, rather than to go through and say, well, you got all these, the paragraphs are misaligned, and I think this and I think that, it's more like, did this report answer the questions that we need to answer to move forward on this topic? Have we missed anything fundamental? That, you know, sort of the higher level type of input that the council can really sink their teeth into. We need to get real feedback that tells us we're off base, or that we've got it right, or if there are honest disagreements, we want to have that. We just want to have a good feel for that. So that's what I've just sent around here. And of course, today I don't think we're looking for any specific feedback. I think you're just digesting it now. You may have some initial questions, but as things go on in your subcommittees, I expect that you'll have some detailed questions, and we'll have the experts who put some of these reports together available, and whether email or some form, to be able to do that, even in your off times. Not, you know, we don't have to wait for the next meeting for that. So all that said, in this report, as Rob said, it's a meaty report. It's got a lot of tables and charts, and it goes on and on and on. But the first five or six pages are really the summary of it all, and it does sort of lay out the differences in where you are dealing with permit issues to the extent we know them at this time. But in summary, you know, Choro Creek is like Morro Creek, but the main difference is you've got an estuary at the end of it. So any discharge in that also has effects relative to the estuary and its habitat issues. Not that there aren't habitat issues with both Morro and Choro Creek, but that's an added complication there. But we also went into some detail relative to the ramifications of ocean discharge, land application, when you're getting the regional board involved, what the time frames are, generally speaking, of dealing with things. And at the end of the day, you know, there's no real major surprises we found in this, but this is going to help inform the bigger picture of what we're trying to do before the council. And that's it for now. I really don't want to go into a lot of detail until you have a chance to absorb it.
So if I can discuss process a minute for the benefit of myself and hopefully the rest of the advisory committee members, we've just received this today as a draft report on discharge issues for the two sites. Is it going to be presented to staff on the 12th as a final report? Is that the intent, or will it still be in draft form?
I believe Larry Walker has actually finalized the report. There may be follow-up to follow-on questions. When council reviewed this report, they needed to really digest what it said, and really we have until the 12th to answer some of those questions that may be coming from this committee and from council. So there is some time to review it, and we can get those, you know, detailed technical answers. Betsy from Larry Walker basically presented an overview of the report to council. Pretty technical report that she tried to distill down to, you know, an understandable format, and council did review it. They didn't ask a whole lot of questions at that point, but are still, you know, taking a look at it, and will follow up with questions on up till the council has to make their decision with the report. The main reason for getting these reports out before the 12th is there's a lot of technical information that will be contained in these reports, and so that we have enough time for the community, this committee, and council to really think about it and ask more detailed questions as we get to it. So we're not asking this committee nor the council to make a decision whether one is better than the other at this point right now. It's more to get the information out there, digest it, and have those questions come in over the next month so they can be answered at the meeting on the 12th.
Okay. So our subcommittee, environmental subcommittee, is out there. This is obviously a permitting issue, something that would fall under their purview, working with staff to really drill into it. And then on our meeting in 2 weeks, would they come forward with a list of specific questions they have that can be answered by our meeting on the 5th then?
Perhaps they could email questions or communicate before the next meeting, if that's at all possible. We could have answers that would be presented at that next meeting, ideally. Or if the work hasn't been quite completed, we still have another meeting to make that happen by also.
Okay. Is that clear for everyone, especially that the environmental subcommittee? Okay.
I think it's both environmental and engineering. This one has some crossover areas, so both committees, and I think there's some crossover on both those committees, so I think you have the ability to talk about it from both aspects.
Okay. All right. Does anyone want to discuss this report at all? Have any questions?
Yeah, I had a question. On the discussion of the percolation pond, if the city decides to go that direction because it's the least regulatory option, does it still require an emergency outfall just in case it needed one? And would we have to plan for that?
Answer. We have an existing outfall that both the county staff, supervisor, and the executive officer from the regional board view as an asset and say that really needs to be maintained for both emergency relief and for perhaps ultimately some brine disposal. So I think we do need to keep that in the mix of availabilities. Doesn't seem likely today, but it does rain here. And we may get extended periods of rain where we have no other choice but to use an outlet. And every flood control feature that I've designed, every disposal pond that I've designed always has some sort of emergency outlet.
But I think it's also fair to say sort of the other subtext to your question was, it's not really so much a decision on, well, if we go for perk ponds or creek discharge. I think this is looking at the universe of the possibilities to say what's going on, so that when at the end of the day a decision is made and designers come in to figure it all out, everyone goes in with their eyes open relative to the time frames and the costs involved in doing one or another. But I do think we are looking for input. Did we kind of miss something on the permitting front? Is there something that should be considered in here that we didn't, or did we just get it wrong somehow? So that's what we're looking for at this point.
Go ahead, please. My quick question is, when coming from the CMC, I see the water going down Choro Creek, which would be a benefit to the city on the side of being able to pump more from their wells in the Choro Creek area if the flows are adequate within it. On the Morrow Creek side, when you talk about if you're going to use the existing outfall down at the ocean, you run it down Morrow Creek in order to utilize that. Is there any reason, do we get any benefit from additional flows being in Morrow Creek as opposed to saying putting in a pipeline when you're putting in the pressure line, bringing it up to the wastewater plant to have one take it back down and bypass Morrow Creek altogether?
Yeah, well, you're always getting ahead of yourself right here. You're thinking ahead. Those are the kind of questions that we are going to address. Another report you're going to see put together by Cleith Harris is going to address water issues in the two basins and what happens when you discharge to the creeks and what benefit is there to the city depending on which way you go. So we are going to get to that, just not in this report.
Thank you.
Another question kind of relates to what you just said. the conveyances. This report has nothing to do with permits that are necessary for the conveyances to these locations. Is that correct? Is that going to be held done separately?
Correct. That's, they're just looking at the permitting for discharge. They're, that's Larry Walker's specialty, is discharge permits.
Go ahead, please. I I got a quick couple questions on the Choro Creek option. I scanned that report and didn't see anything that we have a Morro Bay East Estuary State Marine Reserve there. When you refer to the estuary, that is a state marine reserve, which has very stringent, quite stringent discharge requirements there. So I don't know if it's referred there in that report, but if it isn't, it's probably something that needs to be looked at. And then the other issue is currently, you know, Mr. Leivick mentioned something about, you know, having the option of brine discharge. Now, right now there's no regulation, but there's a lot of activity at the state level to having a regulatory for the brine issue discharge. And several months ago, I went to the Cayucas, had a meeting with regards to this, and they had a report, and they were pushing at one time to build the plant where it is, and then their option was to go to the CMC. When you're looking at this wastewater treatment plant, are you considering the Cayucas Sanitary District in their, in your capacity, in your when you're sizing it, and are they involved in helping finance like the Larry Walker report and anything else?
We just had a executive committee meeting with the Cayucas Sanitary District, and they expressed a desire to participate in the CMC evaluation. So we're working on the details of them financing those reports. They have not been a partner on the Larry Walker report, the Kestrel report, the Cleith Harris report, though the financial aspects of those are yet to be discussed with the sanitary district, and it kind of depends on their level of partnership with us when we get down to the end of the day. But they were very interested in being a partner on the CMC study. So we worked out a scope of work that is agreeable to both the city and the sanitary district. They added some items that we really didn't think were completely necessary for this level. We added some items that they really didn't think were necessary, and we're working on the cost arrangements for paying for that right now. But that does consider both Cayucas and Morro Bay in the design of the CMC facility. I think I'll step out on a limb here. I think what's good for Morro Bay has to be good for Cayucas in siting of a regional facility. If it's cost effective for Morro Bay, it has to be cost effective for Cayucas, because they're so much smaller than we are, and they have so much further to go if they were to go alone. So I think works with regional boards all over the state, mm-hmm. and based on their experience working with the boards and their discussion with board staff on these various issues, they sit on committees that review this with the state. So they have the experience to know. They did do a little bit of crystal balling what they see is in the future based on upcoming regulations for salts, nutrients, pathogen requirements. So we have, I don't think we'll ever see regulations getting easier for discharge requirements. I think they'll only get more stringent, but it's based on their experience working with the boards.
With the other boards, or with this particular board that we're concerned with?
They have permitted plants in this board. They are doing permitting for City of San Luis Obispo right now with their plants, so they're very familiar with this regional board.
Okay, and could a discharge to Choro Creek potentially enhance the estuary?
Potentially. I guess it depends what level of treatment we're talking about.
Okay. And then finally, the report states that the 2006 CMC permit isn't posted on the Region 3 website, so it wasn't possible to review the reasoning behind the apparent assignment of the Title 22 bacteria standards for urban irrigation as numeric effluent limits for discharges to the creek. And my point is will this information be pursued prior to the final report is issued?
We'll talk with Larry Betsy from their group and drill down for that question.
Okay.
So that's a good question. So as those are the kind of things that we need to get us to the end.
Any other questions down this way? No? Okay. I just have one. In the report, it discusses San Luis Obispo's minimum flow of 2.5 CFS. And I appreciate it talking about how that dedication limits that amount of water to its use. It has to be creek discharge, can't be used for any other beneficial reuse like irrigation in the town. But there's no mention of CMC already having a minimum creek flow of 0.75 CFS. And I think that's important to evaluate because the creek, it's my understanding, if the prison population was to double and flows were to increase at the plant, the 0.75 CFS is capped. It doesn't have to go up as well. So I'm curious to know is if both parties, Cayucas and Morro Bay, or even just Morro Bay, were to go out to CMC, does Larry Walker think the 0.75 is reasonable to assume is going to stay, or would there be any reason to think that it would go up?
We'll drill down and get an answer for that question also.
Okay. Thank you. Any others? Okay. Well, then I guess we look forward to seeing the subcommittee's
analysis,
thorough analysis on this. And before we, this is also, I think there's no action needed tonight, but I do want to get in the habit of offering up public comment. So if there's any comment from the public, now's your time to come forward and do so. All right. Seeing none, then I think we'll move on to the next item, which is C3 and is the report by Kestrel Consulting on their initial findings on grants and strategy. Staff, if you'd like to make another presentation.
So this report has not been to council yet. This is the initial kind of public offering of Kestrel's analysis on availability, potential availability of funding for a water reclamation facility. And Monica Reed from Kestrel Consulting prepared some initial findings on grant strategy, and then she has a memo on her opinion on overview of grant programs and with public works projects, and then she looked at some work that we provided her with a list of grant opportunities, and her firm evaluated those, took it to the next level, and looked to whether, you know, some of these projects would be eligible for this particular project. While they may or may not be, some of these are we're looking at for other city programs too. So it's a good list. We thank Jenny for helping us put this together, and this is a work product that will help us in all of our water resources funding that we're looking at.
Another issue that's going to come up is that some of the expectation that this can be 90% funded or 80% funded in one form or another, it seems unrealistic. At best, we're probably talking about 25%, maybe 10% more realistically, but even that's unknown. Depends on a lot of competition for limited money. And in some cases, getting that money will take some time and effort. In some cases, 3 to 5 years. It could take some time to get some money. So we have to go in with our eyes open on those points. The other issue that came out of her findings is that there aren't any real qualitative differences between the two sites relative to one being easier to get money for than the other. So I think that's sort of a level playing field, more or less, relative to the idea that, well, if we build the coolest site with the best bells and whistles, will that make us more eligible for money? And although she doesn't really state it here in much detail, we did talk to her about that. And really, that's not going to produce a lot of real fruit by itself. It may be maybe money for specific aspects of the project that relate to some innovation, but overall, it's not going to change the game significantly. But if you have specific questions about that, that's what we want to hear, and she'll be able to give pretty good feedback on that or any other aspect of her reports. And Ginny, I also wanted to point out, she was very appreciative of having put together that list, which was quite helpful to go through in some detail. And you may have your own comments on that relative to her comments.
Mm-hmm. I just want to add one more thing. Since we have formed a finance subcommittee, Ms. Reed will be here for this next city council meeting to make a presentation. She's staying over, and she would enjoy meeting with the finance subcommittee that next morning, if at all possible. So the Wednesday morning after the city council meeting, if Ginny and Barbara, you were available to meet with Monica, that would be great. So she could talk with you directly and talk about financing strategies for the project.
Great.
What date is that?
That would be Wednesday the 15th.
Next week?
Yes.
I haven't seen the document yet, but my understanding is the Morro Bay is a disadvantaged community, but when we're coming in together with Cayucas, Cayucas isn't, so we no longer qualify for disadvantaged community funding. Is that correct?
No, we don't qualify on our own. We don't. We exceed the 80% of the median household income. I may be stating that wrong, so I'm not. But we exceed the income thresholds for the town on a whole. There may be some areas in town that meet that requirement, so there may be some opportunities if we were to drill down to those areas and there were some specific improvements that we could target that benefited those areas, we might be eligible for some of that funding. But the folks that I talked to at the from the State Water Board at the funding fair didn't seem very encouraging for that effect. Also, some of the money that's available is, you have to be bad to get that money. You have to have a discharge problem. You have to have been fined. You're not providing safe drinking water to really get that money. So I guess fortunately, we continue to do our best and meet all of our existing discharge requirements. So. Kudos to Bruce for doing that, and I wouldn't want to ever suggest that we not do that, because I don't know that it's economic. It pencils out fines versus the funding that's available.
Just real quick. So the list that was in here was given to Kestrel for the list of different grants by the city. It sounds like Ginny gave it to him. Is that correct?
Yes. Ginny worked with us. Actually, she pretty much worked independently. We didn't give her much support at all, unfortunately. And she did a great job of putting that list together.
So Kestrel hasn't gone out and tried to find. Do they only go after the actual grant, or do they actually do the research side of it, too?
They do the research side of it also.
Okay. Yeah, because most of these did say not available or whatever was the prevailing tone thrown.
Right, but to answer the question, did they do their own research? They did. I think what they found,
or the prime rate, is what the loan is for. So that will probably I would guess, would be the majority financing component for the water reclamation facility, no matter where it is.
I had a couple of comments that I wanted to make, and I have some written comments that I'll provide to John, and we can fold that into the memo back to the City Council. But I thought the report was well written, and it did provide useful information, but I had hoped that the report would include several profiles of recently constructed wastewater treatment plants at municipalities that shared similar characteristics with Morro Bay, like population, economic base, proximity to the coast, and things like that. I'd like to know how these communities finance their wastewater treatment plants and whether there may be additional funding opportunities that Morro Bay hasn't considered. And we've already talked about the citizens chart. I'm glad that you clarified that the purpose of that chart was just, it was very limited research, and I wanted to see what was out there. And I realized, too, that there were very few big-ticket items for funding for this wastewater treatment plant. On the other hand, the report states that the Title 16 grant program for Bureau of Reclamation and Water Smart grants offered by this agency, besides those, there aren't any significant federal grants available to Morro Bay to construct the WRF. This may not be true. The USDA provides funds for costs associated with planning, design, and construction of new or existing wastewater treatment plants in rural areas. And I've been told that Morro Bay isn't currently eligible for a USDA grant because it has a population of more than 10,000. However, I understand that Los Osos was able to obtain a congressional exemption for this requirement and received a USDA grant to finance sewer collection, treatment, and effluent disposal despite having a population greater than 10,000. So I'm wondering if perhaps the city of Morro Bay should further investigate whether this potential option is worth pursuing. And with respect to the Clean Water State Revolving Fund loan program, I was at the same funding fair that Rob attended, and I would just add that the State Board recommends that an applicant not wait until the environmental work for the project is complete before submitting part one of the application. That's just very basic general information. And so by doing so, the applicant would be assigned a person at the State Board who could answer specific questions that the applicant may have. And I think that's definitely worthwhile.
Anything else, Jane?
The rest of my comments will be folded into
okay.
the memo.
Thank you. Bill?
On page 5, the top question, are there unique funding opportunities associated with either of these two sites? I thought she shined pretty minimally on the California Men's Colony, and her last statement says, until this project is defined more clearly, it is difficult to assess grants that might be site-specific. I know that, we all know that, the prison versus the jail versus the men's colony and all of that process involves the feds and the states and the county. And we know also that the jail is being expanded as we speak. We know the juvenile facilities are being expanded as we speak. And we know there's a large flow of funds that are flowing at least from the state to the county, considering the transfer of prisoners from the prisons to the jails to meet these federal criteria of which have been imposed on the state. Now, there's a lot of money on the table, and I don't know where all this money's going, but I guarantee you there's a lot of money. And there has to be some capability of sewage systems for these transfers of people and prisoners, and for the facility and
personnel that's going to support those facilities. And it seems to me that she should have at least been aware of that, much less maybe drilling down to find some answers. So that's just my comment.
Thanks, Bill. Any others?
I do have a question. The CEQA requirements and NEPA requirements.
Right. That's a good question. You put one in my wheelhouse. Yeah, the idea of CEQA Plus, which is a concept that's used in big capital projects to address NEPA issues through the CEQA process, is likely, I'm not going to say it's certainly, but likely the approach the city's going to use, and those combine the processes within the same time frame. So just for that reason, so you don't do one and then the other and it takes twice as long. We don't know exactly where it's going to go at this point, but when you're involving federal money, or, you know, you can be certain NEPA is going to have to be addressed in there. So that's all we know at this point, but the intent was to do them at the same time. Anyone?
Yes, on her report on page 6, the first bullet speaking about many city councils have passed resolutions in support of Proposition 1, etc. My comment would be to our city council, actually, on the Proposition 84 that's referenced on page 4, to also consider passing a resolution in support of that proposition, again, just to indicate the importance of it and that the council is behind any kind of funding source.
So are you suggesting this, because Prop 84 is already passed, so are you suggesting the city
do the same thing for Prop 84? No, it's already been, well, I don't know if they've done it for 1 or 84 or any other relevant. I think it should have been included in the report if she's saying many city councils have passed resolutions of support for Proposition 1, then the recommendation should be, shouldn't our council do that as well as Proposition 84 and any other relevant?
I believe we might be down to the end of the money in Prop 84. I think this last, at least for water resources dollars, from what I understand.
If you want.
Okay, I understand being on the earworm that this was kind of the last call for projects on for the Prop 84 money that happened a few months ago.
Yeah, there is the draft funding recommendations came out this month, and there's $4.9 million left over for our region. That will probably, though, be put forward and used for this drought round. So there'll most likely be no Prop 84 left. It would be money coming out of Prop 1. Do you know if the City Council is considering a resolution endorsing Prop 1? I guess ultimately that's the question here.
We haven't brought that to them directly. We have talked about it in some of the earworm discussions on, you know, when it'd be prudent to bring that forward.
I think mail ballots are out now, so the timing would have to be pretty soon. About now. Yeah, exactly. Okay, but that's a good comment.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, any others? I'll go ahead.
I just have a question on page 2 of the report where it speaks to the federal grant programs. It says that a feasibility study would be in order. Has any sort of feasibility study or project study report been done on this course of action that we're currently on?
Not as of yet.
Okay. Go ahead.
One more item to point out, similar to Prop 84, pointing out here is that individual cities cannot apply for Prop 1, but we would have to go in as part of the consortium.
And we already are a member of the IRWM. Rob's the representative for the city on the IRWM program.
Yes.
Yeah. And Los Osos, so if no one else has any comments, I'll make mine. On the IRWM, Los Osos received about $6 million to wastewater treatment plant through the IRWM process. And this water bond is proposing, I believe, $43 million to the Central Coast region, which is a substantial amount of money. So the counties that are
part of the geographic area called the Central Coast by DWR would be competing for $43 million. And my personal opinion is a wastewater treatment plant with recycled water is a highly competitive application. So I would think Prop 1 is definitely advantageous for the city. The timing is very good, and I encourage everyone to take a good look at that proposition and consider it when voting on it, because the grants are going to be allocated to the Central Coast, and Morro Bay has a very good chance of being competitive, not only for the IRWM, but as pointed out in the report, $725 million are available in water recycling grants, and that will be statewide, and that's a significant amount of money, and this will be a very competitive project for those funds as well. So hopefully that bond does pass. I would want to make a comment on this item. Okay, seeing none, this is also a non-action item at this time. So I will move us to D, committee member closing comments. Would anyone like to make any comments before we wrap up this evening, this afternoon? I'll start with you, Mr. Woodson, and head this way if you have any comments.
Okay. My closing comment is I'm impressed with the questions that were generated by this august group, and congratulations, and I think we're on a good start. I do have a question to staff and the consultant. Last meeting there was a mention of a smoke test in the existing infrastructure of the sewer lines, and I was wondering whether that would have any effect on the size of the project in any way, shape, or form, because if I remember right, I remember during floods, the sewer system is inundated, and this smoke test should, I would think, indicate in where these leaks are. And would this have an impact on our project in any way?
INI correction is an ongoing maintenance activity. We continually repair sewer lines. So I think we have a fairly modest INI rate in our community. So I think we would continue to move that forward for design purposes. We're never going to have a perfect seal-tight system. So we do have to assume some water will get into the system as we move forward. The smoke testing per se will not reduce the size of the facility. It just helps us identify where we need to focus our repairs on. And not only repairs, we did discover a few illicit connections with this smoke testing. So we got those disconnected.
I'd like to follow up on that. The Coastal Commission, in their review of the wastewater treatment plant project, also stated that they are linking some of the major collection systems, parts of the system, with the with this project. There's a letter from Mike Watson several years ago that had this addressed this issue. In particular, it's on the Main Street main sewer lines. So I think that's part of the major infrastructure is going to have to be addressed. And regarding the INI, I had done a flow study, and our INI, at least in Cayucas, was four times the amount of daily flow, so it's significant.
Okay, any other comments?
I guess I have just one little quickie. Mm-hmm. Then do we know of any drop-dead dates for CMC? In CMC sewer facility improvement or replacement?
No. They have a fairly new system there that they within the last 5 years they completed? Maybe 7 years?
7 years.
7 years completed and just added UV disinfection to it this last year. So it's a fairly new facility, so I don't think there's any, they don't have any
permitting requirements that's critical on their end with the wastewater treatment system. Now, there are critical water needs for all of us Chorro Valley water users that are probably ahead of the wastewater needs.
Any other comments or questions from any members?
Just in closing, because I haven't had the opportunity to thank John personally, but last year I was part of the selection committee that hired the Rickenbach team, and I went to all the workshops and stakeholder meetings, and I have to say, John, you've done a very good job for the city, and I wanted to thank you.
I agree. Any other comments? Okay, I just want to make sure before we close, everyone, we all have email addresses so the advisory committees can communicate and get together.
And if anybody needs to change those or update those, or well, maybe everybody, did everybody get the email on the packet? I don't think, John, you got it.
I have to find out. I don't think I did.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Oh, you did not get it either? Okay. So we'll make sure that we have the most current email, and we'll do a test this week. And if we don't hear back from you, we'll give you a call. So find a facility, a room available between one City Hall or Public Services office.
Okay. And then will reports, as they come to you, will they be emailed to us, or will we get them at the next meeting if any are released in the next few days?
Maybe I can answer that. And that was dovetailing into what I was going to say anyway. We'll try to get things emailed if possible. What I expect is going to happen at the next meeting, which is the 22nd. By then, we'll have a report, I think, by Cleith Harris, which will deal with water issues. I don't expect to have that report done until somewhere in the neighborhood of just a couple of days before that meeting. So we'll try to get what we can as soon as we can. And then as far as the following meeting on the 5th, I'm not exactly sure how that's going to play out. We're hoping to have the Corolla report, which is the big one, and the full report if possible. We're not sure how that will play at this point. That's a little premature.
I have a comment on that.
Okay.
With regard to the meeting rooms, Rob, is it possible to get one for next week? You're saying that the consultant's available to talk with us next Wednesday? So you'll just send us an email and let us know?
We'll just send you an email where it's going to be.
Okay.
She's staying in town, so it should be easy to get together. She would prefer to do it earlier rather than later, if that works. And maybe we can talk after or now. What is good for you guys as far as early goes?
As early as possible is good for me. Okay. 7:38 start time. I may not be available all morning due to my work schedule, but
fine. Would 8 o'clock work for you also? Okay. Mm-hmm. So we'll plan on 8 o'clock next Wednesday at Public Services Office.
And then my final comment was on a discussion about maybe doing some field trips, having the meeting start at a site. And I think in order to make that a valuable field trip, it probably has to happen at our next meeting. So is there any way we can possibly make that happen where we're out looking at Rancho Colima? And CMC might be challenging. But
I don't know how we get all of us to CMC. Mm-hmm. That might be, well, there is a way to get all of us there. But I know we can arrange Rancho Colina. So.
Okay. If you could ask CMC possibly, maybe we start it at 2 o'clock out there and then have our meeting and go to Rancho Colima if possible. It'd make for a full day, but I think we should all see those sites.
Sure.
Okay. And that's it. So seeing no other comment, then we're adjourned and we'll reconvene at our next meeting, which is October 22nd at 3 p.m. here in the Morro Bay Community Center. Yeah. Thanks, everyone.